Let's go over to 1 Kings chapter 18. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Ushers do have some Bibles. Praise God. Just trust that the television department is archiving our testimonies there, so we won't have to be scratching around for any testimonies. We have plenty of them. In 1 Kings, we see here where in chapter 18, this is a situation where this man, Obadiah, it says here in verse 3, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Say, fear the Lord.
Fear the Lord.
Now that doesn't mean tremble. It means that you have a reverent respect for God and his word. So he feared the Lord. But Obadiah had some other characteristic, something else that distinguished him. And you'll find that down here in verse 13. It says that, was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? So one thing we know is that he hid the prophets of Jezebel. The second thing that we know from Jezebel, the next thing that we know is that he feared the Lord. Now let's come all the way over to 2 Kings in chapter 4. And this is this incident we read here about a woman whose children were about to be taken and put in slave. He says in verse 1, now they cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets to Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, but thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. Underline, fear the Lord. So we get a pretty good indication here that they're talking about Obadiah. And I believe that's Obadiah. I believe that was Obadiah and his family. And now it says here that, and the creditor has come to take unto my two sons to be bondmen. Now this is interesting as well because it says over in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7, he says this. He said, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And that word servant there translates slave. So here is this woman, obviously in debt to the point that she can't pay. And now somebody's about to be enslaved. And she cried to this man of God, and he began to instruct her. He said, well, what shall I do for you? What do you have in your house? She said, I don't have anything in the house except a little burial oil. He said, okay, that's good enough. Go out and borrow some vessels. Don't borrow a few, and bring them back in. You and your son shut the doors and begin to pour out. And as she began to pour out, the oil began to multiply. Now, this is expensive oil. Burial oil, somebody says, about worth 1 year's wages. And so this is expensive oil. So she poured out these big vessels, all this oil, and then she got into commodities business here. She started selling oil, and the next thing you know, here she paid all the debt and living her and her family on the rest. Now, let's get back to this man. Because I think sometimes when people get in debt, they don't understand sometimes what money is. Money, the Bible talks about deceitfulness of riches, and that instead of money serving us, sometimes we end up serving money. And I believe this is what happened to him, even though his thoughts and his actions were noble in looking at it from the outside, meaning that what he did is he tried to help God's people and God's plan by hiding the prophets. That was a good thing. But I think he borrowed to do it. So sometimes we borrow to do God's work. And what he's saying in here is that I believe God has a way for us that we don't have to borrow. I think the problem is sometimes is that we're trying to import a Babylonian system into God's house. We haven't renewed our minds. We're out of Egypt, but Egypt is not fully out of us. And so we end up doing things according to the way we used to learn to have learned to do them instead of the new way that Jesus wants to teach us how to live. Say amen. Amen. So I'm not saying that borrowing money is a sin. I'm saying that if somebody gets head over their heels in debt, I know when I was drinking Maalox. I don't know whether y'all know what Maalox is, but that stomach problems and all the worries that came with all of that. And I would try to consolidate. I'd go down to a place called HFC. I don't know whether they still have that today, because I don't borrow money. Y'all probably know. But I went down to HFC and I consolidated and then consolidated and then consolidated again. I was a consolidating fool back in them days. But anyway, the point to you is just it was a spirit. So that thing had to be broken off my life, and it did get broken. Now, I'm saying this to say that God had a way out. And the thing I'm going to point up today, there's a lot of lessons in this, of course, but one thing I want to point up today is this, is that Satan would love for us to build with our own strength. That's a deception and a temptation from the devil for us to do it in our own strength. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Here's what he says, speaking about the days ahead. He said, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." That it's not going to be by might, army, or by power, own human effort, but by his spirit. You see, he said that the God who started this is going to be the God who finishes this. See, I didn't do this out of my own strength. I came here with how much money? $200. And look what God has done. See, unless the Lord builds a house, they're laboring in vain to do it. And too many times we get involved in things and somehow we forget the provisions of God. We forget that God can help us and so forth. And we try to do it in our own strength. Well, that costs a lot, not only in money and time, but it costs a lot. Sometimes it costs people their life because they work themselves to death. And I'm here to tell you, you don't need to do that. I said, you don't need to do that. So what happens here is that I'd like to show you a couple of places. Go over to Exodus chapter 25, please. In Exodus 25, it's something interesting. This is when they came out of Egypt. Now they're in the wilderness, but they came out, as you remember, with silver and gold. And now that they're out, look what God here is looking to do with them in the middle of Egypt. And he says here, starting at verse 8, he said, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that he showed thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it." In other words, you're going to get my vision, I'm going to give you my vision, and I'm going to use the money that I gave you, and you're going to be able to build me a sanctuary right out here in the middle of the wilderness. So I'm just saying it's kind of interesting here how this God provides whatever he wants for whatever he wants to build. Let's look at another place. This is Exodus chapter 36. In Exodus chapter 36, Look at verse 3. He said, and they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary. Where did they get the money from? Where did they get it from? He got it from Egypt to make it withal. And they brought yet unto the free to him freewill offering in the evening and in the morning. Now look at this. And all the wise men, well, I don't need to show you. Let's go to the next verse. Let's go. And next verse. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for us for the service of the work, which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment that they cause it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Now, I'm not going that far. I'm not going to tell you to do that. Praise the Lord. But as we do this, I want you to know, look at the next verse. Can you look at that next verse in verse 7? For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and what? Too much. Let's go all the way over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's look at this word sufficient, because that's a word I want you to key in on. Verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also what? Sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also what? Bountifully. Now, do you think that'll work in the wilderness? Yes or no? Yes, it'll work anywhere. It doesn't make any difference where you are. So as fast as they brought some in, they went back to the tent and they had more to bring. And look what it says, but every man according to as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. And God is able to make all what? Grace abound toward you, that you always what? Having all what? Sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. See, he never intended for you to live according and do his work according to your salary. He wants you to do it according to the grace that he's going to provide for you. Say amen to that. Look at the next verse. As it is written, he's dispersed abroad and given to the poor, his righteousness remaining forever. Look at the next verse. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and will what? Multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. So you can see here that God wants you to have all sufficiency in all things. In other words, anytime that bucket comes around, you'll have enough to put in it. Amen. Say amen. Amen. If you want to know the truth, God wants you to have more than you see any way to use. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. So God is a good God. And I showed two envelopes this morning people gave me because their seed is coming in. Why? We're using that Mark 11:24, that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you what? Receive them and you shall have them. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, chapter 9 and verse 10, that he gives seed to the sower. So we're going to pay this debt off and you're going to sow $1,000 seed to do that. And God's going to give you seed to sow. And not only is he going to give you seed to sow, but when you sow it, you're going to sow it to pay off your debt. And your debt's going to be paid off at the same time. Now give God a praise and get ready for the supernatural. All right. Praise God.